So welcome back. We're in part three of this mini-series that we have been walking through on the topic of biblical contentment. And again, if you miss any of the messages in this mini-series, you can always watch them on our Facebook page. And for those of you who do not have access to Facebook or don't have access to Facebook, our Facebook page, we will soon upload them on our website and on our YouTube channel. But for now, we're just going to do a quick review before we dive into the next part of the text. So we have taken, two Sundays so far on this topic of biblical contentment. And I've mentioned that biblical contentment ultimately leads to joy. And that is not joy that is not affected by our circumstances, our outer circumstances. This joy is always present. Whether we are abounding or whether we are being brought low, whether we are, full or whether we are hungry, the joy that contentment brings is always present. So when Paul says in Philippians 4:10 that he rejoiced, okay, he's not rejoicing because the Philippians finally sent him some financial support after not being able to support him for a period of time. That's not why Paul is rejoicing. Paul's rejoicing is because he has learned in whatever situation he is in that he should be or how to be content. What did he mean by that? And we took that up last week. If you can still remember, we defined contentment in both the way our society defines it and we defined it on how the Bible defines it. And if you again, if you remember last week, I said that the Greek word used for contentment is the word autarkis, right? Which literally means to self-rule or to be self-sufficient or be independent. It is totally different from how our society today defines contentment. And by the way, We're gonna unpack even more of what that means to be self-rule, to rule yourself, or to be self-sufficient when it comes to being content biblically. We're gonna unpack that some more later on in this message. So the difference between that definition of contentment and the way the dictionary defines contentment is that in the dictionary's definition, contentment is a state of mind or an emotional state. That is dependent on a person being at ease with his environment, with his body, with his mind. Okay, that's what contentment means in our society. That's how our society views contentment. If you're content with your external situation, so much so that your body and mind is at ease, then you can say that you are content. But again, biblical contentment is not that. In fact, we learned last week, biblical contentment is something that is learned or something that is known, right? Biblical contentment is knowing or learning how to handle ups and downs of life, the ups and downs of life. So whether or not you are up or you are down, the joy that biblical contentment brings should always be there. Unlike the contentment that our society understands, once your external situation changes, then the contentment goes away. The joy goes away. But biblical contentment is not like that. That's why biblical contentment is not a state of mind. It is something that is learned. Knowing how to rejoice in abundance and in need. When we say that, we also said last week that, what is it to learn? What are we supposed to learn? We're supposed to learn this secret, right? There's a secret that must be learned in order for somebody to be content in the biblical sense, right? Paul said that, right? He said in verse 12, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned this secret. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So last week, I left you with that. If biblical contentment is to be learned, is to be known, And the thing that's to be known or to be learned is a secret, then what is the secret? So today we're going to talk about what the secret is. Let's read verse 12 and 13 one more time. 12, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So what is the secret to biblical contentment? Our answer lies in one of the most popular verses in all of the Bible, and also one of the most misunderstood and misused verses in all of the Bible, namely Philippians 4:13. Can you guys recite it from where you are? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Say it one more time. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So there's a couple of key phrases in that verse and a key word that will help us or give us hints that we need in order for us to find out what is the secret. What is the secret to biblical contentment? What are the key phrases? Two phrases. I can do. That's one phrase. Okay. The other phrase is through him. Okay, two phrases, key phrases. And the key word is strengthens. Okay. Strengthens me. Okay. So let's start unpacking these things one by one. So first, let's unpack the phrase I can do. Okay. Remember the original Greek word that Paul used for contentment, right? Autarkis, which literally means self-ruled, self-sufficient, or independent, right? So the first key to understanding the secret to biblical contentment is that there is an action involved when a person has learned to be biblically content. Again, this is totally opposite of how the world views contentment. Because the world views contentment, again, if you're already content, you don't move from there. You stay there. I'm content here. I'm happy where I'm at. There's no action involved. It's a state of mind. You get to that state when everything is doing fine. Everything's doing well. Body, mind, doing good. I'm content. But when it comes to the biblical contentment, there's an action involved. I can do, right? Paul says, I can do. There is an action involved for a person who has learned to be biblically content. That's why last week we talked about it, how contentment is not merely being happy with your situation, but knowing how to handle it, right? So we talked about how is a person who's biblically content deal with abundance? Because if you're abundant, right, if you're rich, then that's it. By worldly standards, you should be content. You should stay there, be rich. But biblical contentment, again, says that, no. Biblical contentment means knowing how to abound, knowing how to be rich. Right? So again, you can be rich financially. You can be rich with your health. But if you don't know how to handle your wealth and health, you will end up throwing everything away. We saw this last week, right? You can win the lottery and still not be content. And in your discontentment, you end up going broke. And where a lot of lottery people, a lot of lottery winners have. Or you can be the healthiest person alive. But if you're not content, biblically content, you can end up being sick or even dead because you don't know how to handle abundance. And that's what biblical contentment talks about. Or when you, on the other hand, are brought low, right? Even to the lowest of lows, as we saw last week with the example that I used, Tim Challies. Tim Challies lost his 20-year-old son suddenly. He hasn't seen him for months. And then when he heard the news that his son was sick and then all of a sudden he just died, how low must that bring a person? But even in his lowest of lows, he knew how to handle loss. And he knew how to handle being brought down to that point as a parent. And that comes with, again, biblical contentment. Knowing how to abound, knowing how to handle abundance, knowing how to handle losses. Because if you don't have the contentment that Tim Challies has, that Paul is talking about here, if you are brought down to that kind of loss, you don't know how to handle it, you'll end up throwing everything away. Right? Some people, they just can't live anymore being brought down that low. Right? End up committing suicide or just not caring about anything anymore. But not for people with biblical contentment, just like Tim Challies. He knew how to handle being brought low. So being content biblically, again, it's not just to settle and be happy or satisfied with your current situation. It's knowing how to handle your current situation in a way that you are still able to rejoice in the lows and obviously rejoice in the abundance without having to feel as if you need to be in a better situation. Right? That's biblical contentment, knowing how to handle and still be rejoicing afterwards, whether in need or in abundance. And again, this kind of contentment is rooted in knowing a secret. And this secret is revealed through us in the second phrase. Okay, so the first thing, the first clue that we have in knowing what the secret is first of all, I can do. So when you're biblically content, that means you can handle, you can do, you can handle the highs and lows of life. Okay, the next clue to our secret is the second phrase, through Him. I can do all things through Him. Okay, so the secret in knowing how to do or how to handle the ups and downs of life goes through Him, or in Him, or with Him. Now, we know that this Him, or if you don't know who this Him is that Paul is referring to, is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? How do I know that? How do other people know that? Because Paul has used this phrase throughout his letters, and it's always referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just for example, in the same chapter, in verse 19, chapter 4, Paul says that God will supply every need of the Philippians. How? In Christ, right? Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ. So same thing with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him, or in Him who strengthens me. So this is Him is Christ, right? So we can say that in verse 19 of Philippians 4, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ, or with Christ, or through Christ as well. Just like what we did in 4:13. Other examples. What are the other examples of Paul using this word or this phrase in Christ? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or there is therefore now condemnation for those who are with Christ Jesus, right? Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works which God has prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Same thing, in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why is that so important? Well, you'll see as we continue to unpack the rest of the clues that we have in order to find out what the secret is to biblical contentment. So keep this in mind, okay? As it's very important to knowing the secret. Being in Christ, or through Christ, or with Christ, right? So far, we have two clues, right, to what the secret is to biblical contentment. First, biblical contentment is not just settling or being happy in your current situation, but there's a doing in it. There's an action involved. It is knowing how to handle your current situation, whether it be in abundance or in need. And second, biblical contentment, or knowing how to handle your situation with joy, goes through somebody. It goes through somebody, or you're going through it with this person. Who is this person? The Lord Jesus Christ. So two clues. Last clue to the secret to knowing how to handle any situation when it comes to being content biblically is understanding the word strengthens. Okay, that's our key word. So the two phrases and our key word is our clue. I can do through him, and then the key word is strengthens. So what should our understanding be of that term strengthens? So the original Greek word used here for strengthen, okay, is the word endunamonti. Okay? Endunamonti. And this word comes from a mixture of two Greek words, en, which is in, translated to English, is in or with, and dynamo. Okay? Dynamo. So en dynamo makes up the word for strengthens, endunamonti. What does dynamo mean? Dynamo means sharing power or ability, or to impart ability, or in other words, to empower something or someone, right? Now, what's interesting is if you look at that word, dynamo, it comes from the root word dynamis, okay? Which, again, literally means power or strength. And it's also where we get our English word, what? I know some of you are saying, dynamite. No. But it sounds like it, right? So this word dynamis is also the root word or the original word of our English word dynamo. Okay, have you ever heard of that word dynamo? Okay, what is a dynamo? Okay, let me just explain this, because this is when I read this and I was studying this, I'm like, oh, okay, that's the secret. Okay, dynamo. What is a dynamo? Okay, those of you who are engineers, electricians, you know what I'm talking about. A dynamo is a type of generator that converts mechanical energy into electrical energy. So it takes one form of energy and converts it into something else, another form of energy that is useful. So in other words, it converts, again, some form of power, okay, into some other form of power that is now usable. So when I talk about power, I talk about, like, for example, like the Niagara Falls. Okay, when you go to Niagara Falls and you see the falls, it's just raging, right? You feel some kind of fear, like you don't want to fall into that thing because of the power that it possesses. You know you can't overcome it, right? Because it's so powerful. Now, how is that power made available to be used? Okay. Through a dynamo. The dynamo takes that power of water, the mechanical power that water supplies to move like a rotor or something, it converts it into electricity. So that electricity is then spread out to households all across Ontario and when we have electricity, we can do a lot of things, right? We can, you know, cook, we can clean, we can charge our phones, we can go on a computer. But all of those things, the applications came from the power of the Niagara Falls. And then from the Niagara Falls power, again, you can't just take the power and just, you know, take the water and just bring it home with you. You can't use that. You need a dynamo to change that or to make that power available so that it can be of use. The wind turbines are the same thing. When you're driving a 400, you'll see a lot of these things. The wind turbines, they look like big propellers. That's the same thing. It takes the power of the wind to create mechanical energy or mechanical force, and then a dynamo converts that to electrical power or electrical force, right? So that's what strengthens means. Okay, to be able to have access or to be able to be given certain power that you can use whenever you're in abundance or in need, so that wherever you are, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, you will know how to handle it. Right? That's what strengthens means. Now, let's put all our clues together. What is the secret to biblical contentment? Let's put all our clues together. So when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul is saying that he's able to rejoice in knowing how to handle abundance and in knowing how to handle being brought low. And the secret to that is because he's sharing in or being empowered through Jesus Christ, who is the dynamo, who converts or makes available for us the endless power of God, okay, into power that Paul needs in order to fulfill and continue to do ministry. I don't know how about you, but when you think about the power of God, talking about the Niagara Falls is one thing, but talking about God's power, okay? When you read the scriptures, it is God's power who keeps the sun burning. It is God's power who keeps the universe where it's supposed to be. It is God's power who keeps the earth rotating on its axis so that it doesn't crash with any other planets. I would even say it is God's power who's preventing all these debris in space from hitting us, so that, you know, those movies like, I don't know, there's movies about asteroids hitting the earth and then, you know, killing everybody in the earth, so that those things don't happen to us. God's power is what's preventing that. God's power is what's sustaining this whole world. God's power is what's giving you the breath that you have right now. It is by his power that breath began. So when you think about God's power, and again, I just use Niagara Falls as an illustration. When you think about that kind of power, how do you look at that power and say, you know what, I'm hungry right now, God. Can that power feed me? It's just unimaginable, right? It's just unimaginable. When you look at that kind of power, it seems like it's just there, but it's what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that kind of power? And I had this experience with when we were ministering to the homeless in the Philippines. I think it was the first time I went home in the Philippines, when we went to Metro Manila and ministered to the garbage collectors in the Philippines, and we were sharing the gospel to them. One guy asked me, because we were sharing, oh, you know, God is powerful to save, and, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ is power to forgive sin, and this and this and that. And the garbage guy told me that, okay, that's good, that's great, but how is that going to help me overcome my addiction? How is that going to help me get out of poverty? How is that going to help me, feed my family? And you sit there and like, yeah, how does that power be translated into food or, overcoming hardships, and especially for those people? And it's because, because of Christ. Because with Christ, you have hope that even though this is your life here on earth, faith in him, right? When you die, you will be where he is. And that's the power that it gives you, is the power of hope. So it converts all that power that controls the universe into hope for that person who needs it. So that even though he's in that situation, he can still rejoice because he has hope in Christ. That even though I'm this, one day I'm going to die. And that's what I told the person. I told him, like, this might not be, significant right now, what I'm preaching to you right now, but the power of God to forgive. But one day you're going to die and you're going to be out of this world. And this is the only hope that you have to have a better eternal life than the life that you had here. And if you're looking forward to that, then it gives you joy no matter what situation you have in front of you. And I think that's a secret that Paul is talking about, right? Is to be able to share in God's power through the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes the that power, who takes God's power and converts it and makes it available for us to use in everyday situations, whether it be handling or knowing how to handle abundance or knowing how to handle being brought low. So again, you know, as far as the illustration goes, again, Niagara Falls, it's doesn't compare to God's power, but that's what it does. That's what Jesus is for Paul. Takes that power, converts it, makes it available for him. Okay, as far as Niagara Falls is concerned, the dynamo takes that power, makes it electricity, so you can use it every day. Jesus does the same thing for us. He's the bridge. He is how we get to, or we get access to, God's power. So if you believe in him, you'll have access to that kind of power that seems to be unusable. But faith in Christ will make it, will convert it, will make it available for your use. When you're hungry, when you lose your job, when you lose a loved one, or even to just give you satisfaction with the things that you have, so that, you know, you don't look outside and say, I have all this, but I don't have that. Right? Because that kills your joy of the things that you already have. In fact, that's sin. That's covetousness. Right? Wanting something that you don't have. Right? And the reason why that's sin is because it kills the joy that you ought to be having with the things that you already have. So again, Jesus takes that power, okay, power of God, and through him converts it. He's the dynamo, makes it available so that we are able to rejoice in abundance in our misery and sorrow and shame, and then rejoice in that. And then what does he do? Once he converts it, he makes it available to us through how? Through faith. So that when those of us who believe in him, we know the secret. Jesus is the secret. That through him, we will be empowered to overcome, and we will be empowered to know how to handle abundance and need. Right? So in Paul's situation, the reason why Paul was able to say in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need. Remember, Paul said that, verse 11. He said that because he believes and is confident that even though the Philippians weren't able to send him financial help for a period of time, Paul believes and he's confident that God will provide through Christ Jesus. Meaning that through faith in Christ, Paul believes that Jesus is able to make available the power of God to provide for his needs, whether it be physical or spiritual. So when you have that confidence, or when you have that faith, and you know the kind of power that God possesses, the way Paul does, and Paul is able to say to the Philippians, you know what, I don't really need your money. I'm not after your money. Why? Because I have learned the secret. I am content that I can continue the work of the gospel even without your help, because I know where my help is coming from. That's not Paul saying that he's not grateful. Obviously he is. But he knows that ultimately what the Philippians are giving him, it's not really coming from the Philippians. It's coming from God himself. Right? So yes, he's thankful. I'm sure he is. Although he didn't say it here. But he knows where his help is coming from. That's why for Paul, being brought low or being in need, facing hunger or facing abundance, it doesn't faze him. It doesn't scare him. For him, it's all the same thing. And even in whatever situation he's in, he's able to rejoice, because even in the worst or in the best situations, he knows something. He knows the secret that will help him overcome anxiety, will help him overcome fear, or panic, or even greed. when it comes to abundance. And as far as the Philippians are concerned, they're able to continuously and with cheerful hearts support and send, you know, gifts to Paul and send help to Paul, because they too, they know that in Christ, they have access to God's unlimited power by faith to meet not only their needs, but for God to use them to meet other people's needs, namely the Apostle Paul. Now, having said that, last thing I want us to note about knowing the secret. Now that I've told you the secret, okay, the secret of being able to do all things through Christ, and that secret is knowing and trusting that we have access to God's power that Christ converts and makes available for us to use in our daily situations, whether it be abundance or need, and in doing so, knowing how to handle abundance and need. Now that I've told you that, now that you know the secret, now I gotta tell you that this secret, or knowing this secret, is only applicable to the context that we're in. Okay? Why does Paul, or how, you know, what's the reason for Paul to say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me? Go back to the context of chapter 4. What's the big context of chapter 4? The context is for them to continue to work together in love and unity in order to advance the gospel. That's the do all things that Paul is talking about. I'm able to do this, continue to partner with you in love and unity in order to advance the gospel. That's the context where this secret plays in of being content and being able to know how to handle abundance and need. It's for one purpose, and that purpose is to advance the work of the gospel in unity with other believers. That's the larger context that Paul wrote Philippians 4:13 to begin with. So again, when Paul says, I can do all things, this means that he can endure any situation that may present itself on his way to obedience, to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And the same thing goes for the Philippian believers. Right? Their focus is, you got to advance the gospel. Christ is able, and we're confident, because we know the secret, we're confident that God is able to provide for all our needs in order for us to continue the work of advancing the gospel. Now, who needs help in advancing the gospel? Paul does. Okay, Philippians, let's send him help. Let's partner with Paul in unity to accomplish the same goal that we set out to do as fellow believers, fellow workers of the gospel, no matter where they're located, right? That's why it's so funny to hear people use Philippians 4:13 in a different context, especially athletes, right? Athletes use Philippians 4:13 for selfish reasons, right? Why? Because they want to win. So they're saying, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, meaning they're expecting God to give them power through Christ in order to beat their opponent. It doesn't make sense, right? God shows no partiality. He's not going. I don't even know if he watches sports, but he's not. He's not going to be like, okay, I'll give you power, but I'm not going to give that other guy power. What if they're both have, I don't know, Philippians 4:13 tattooed on their chest? What's going to happen then? What if they both have power? Who's going to win then? And what if you lose? Does that mean that God failed? That his power was not good enough to beat your opponent? That's why it doesn't make sense. It's a misuse of this verse, 4:13, Philippians 4:13. And again, ultimately, when Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, he is clarifying. Paul is clarifying to any reader who reads, you know, this chapter, I'm not after financial blessing. That's another context of chapter 4. Right? I'm not after your financial blessing. In fact, he's going to mention what he's really after in the next few verses, in 14 all the way to 20. But that's him, you know, defending himself from those people who might read, you know, chapter 4, verse 10 in the wrong way, right? And in the process of explaining that, he unpacks for us where he gets his confidence from. I'm talking about Paul. In order to continue the work of the gospel, even though the financial help from the Philippians stopped for a bit, right? And again, the secret to Paul's contentment is that he knows. He knows he has access to God's unlimited power by faith in Christ to convert that power of God into something that will meet his needs in every situation that he is in. Therefore, he knows how to handle abundance. He knows how to handle hunger. He knows how to be brought low and still rejoice. Now, what about us? I'll throw it back up to us. Are we confident in that? So even though you know the secret, that secret still has to be believed, right? You can't just say, okay, now I know it. Good. I'm going to be content. No. Even though we know the secret, we still have to be convinced of it, be confident in it, and believe in it. Are we confident that through faith in Christ, the power of God is available to us in a way that will meet our individual needs? Are we confident about that? That the power that holds the universe together, okay, has been converted through the Lord Jesus Christ, made available to us, and that power that holds the universe together is now a power that is able to meet all our individual needs. Are you confident in that? Think about it. Think about it right now. Okay? What do you need right now? Okay? If you close your eyes and think, what do I need spiritually right now? What do I need emotionally right now? What do I need financially right now? What do I need relationally right now? Think about those things. Okay? Now think of power, universe, holding universe together, bringing life to all creatures on earth, keeping this world stable, sustaining it the way it has been sustained, right? That power, is it filling that need? Do you believe that it can fill your need for, you know, spiritual desire? Desire to grow spiritually, read your Bible, pray every day? Is that power being converted? Do you believe that? Are you convinced that that power will help you emotionally? Are you down right now? Right? Are you in need of financial help? Okay. How is that power going to translate over to that need? Are you in, you know, your relationships, are they all good? Do you need help relationally, especially with your marriage? How's that power going to go down and meet that need? So that even though, yeah, it's not that great right now, I can still rejoice. How does that work? How does that power work? Right? So even though you know the power, you believe it. And if you believe it, how do you apply it to your situations? I can give you one word, hope. Hope that God will work that out. That God will. Right? That God will give you financial help. God will give you a new job. That God will send somebody over like Epaphroditus to meet your financial needs. Spiritually, that God will change your heart to become a heart of flesh, so that it will have hunger for him, right? That God will bring you joy to help you overcome your emotional stresses or anxiety, or, you know, if you're down, that God will do that. It's hope and faith that will give us access to that power. Are you convinced of that? Do you believe that? If so, then you can rejoice. Then you can rejoice even though it's not there yet. I still have financial needs. My bank account is still zero. You can rejoice now because you know God will, right? I'm struggling spiritually right now. You can still rejoice because you know God will. or if you're in abundance, you don't have to look around. You don't have to, not be content with what you have and not be happy. You don't have to covet others because God already gave you what you wanted to begin with and what you needed. Right? You can still rejoice. You can rejoice in all of those things. How? Because we know. We know that we have Lord Jesus Christ taking the power of God and making it available for us to meet those needs. Right? And listen, God's been doing this ever since the Old Testament days, right? In Exodus, how did God rescue the Israelites? He sent somebody. He sent Moses. And through Moses, God converted his power. Through Moses, right? In order to save or free the Israelites from slavery. How? If you remember all the miracles that Moses did, he didn't do those miracles. It was God's power through him that made those miracles happen. God turned Moses' staff into a snake. Remember that? When he was trying to prove to Pharaoh that his God, that God, the God of Moses is powerful, God converted his rod into a snake. God sent the plagues through Moses. God parted the sea through Moses. So through Moses, the Israelites were saved. Now, how much more greater a dynamo is the Lord Jesus Christ? Check out 8:31, Romans 8:31, 39. 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, here it is again, with him, through him, in him, graciously give us all things? So you stop there, right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's that verse right there. Because God did not spare his own son, in his love, in his great love, sent his own son, gave him up for us all. He is now, Christ is now our access to what? His grace, his power to give us what? All things that we need here on earth. So again, Jesus takes God's power, converts it, makes it available to those who believe, so that in him we can trust that God, through Christ, can give us all things. I can do, therefore I can do. Right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Keep reading, 8:33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors. There it is again, through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, here it is again, in, or through, or with Christ Jesus our Lord. How much greater is Jesus than Moses? Way greater. It doesn't even compare. But he's doing the same thing with Jesus. God is doing the same thing with Jesus for us as he did with Moses, right? He sent him as his representative, as God himself, him coming into flesh. And through him, we have access to the power of God. So again, knowing that, we can say that through Christ, I can do all things. Right? Through Christ, I can overcome my fears. Through Christ, I can persevere in ministry. Through Christ, I can make a difference in the church and in my community. Through Christ, I can, and you fill in the blank. Right? But the blank has to ultimately lead to the advancement of the gospel. Right? So let's say you lost your job. Through Christ, I can still give my tithes to the church. Can you say that? A lot of people I know, when they look at their spreadsheets and it's all red, the first thing to go is the tithes, right? Okay, we gotta set that apart. We gotta, you know, worry about this stuff first. But Paul says, I can rejoice in abundance and in need. The Philippians, they can give out of their poverty. How? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that us? Right? When the rubber meets the road, so to speak, when we apply this verse, is that us? In the lowest of the lows, the secret to biblical contentment enabled Tim Challies, okay, the blogger, pastor, author that I talked about last week. It enabled him to rejoice even at the death of his son, knowing that the power of God is greater than death itself. He believes that this power is what will enable him to see his son once again. Right? That's what enabled him to rejoice, because he knows that power is available not just for his son, but for him as well who believe. And then one day, they will both see each other up there in heaven. So even though right now he's at his lowest, he can still rejoice. In our highs, in our abundance, the secret to biblical contentment is that we will be enabled to be satisfied with what we have. We will have the strength to battle the sin of covetousness and greed, and also be enabled or empowered to use our resources, our time, our health, our money, for the furtherance of God's ministries here on earth. You believe that? If you believe that, then we should see more people coming to prayer meetings. We should see more people attending Sunday school. We should see more people active in the activities of the church, in the ministries of the church. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you think, I'm spent. Wednesdays, I'm spent from work. I can't attend the prayer meeting anymore. I just want to lie down and watch TV. So yeah, you can't do. You're saying you can't do at that point. You're more content to just sit down and watch TV. But when you are, when you're a Philippians 4:13 Christian, right? The doing, I can do, is actually doing something to advance the gospel, to advance your spiritual life, so that you can advance the gospel. Prayer meeting helps in that, right? So yeah, you're tired. I get it. It's busy. It's hard. Online fatigue is real. But can you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? If you can, then you can click a button and attend prayer meeting and sit there and be hopefully blessed by what we're studying and be a blessing to others by praying for them. Right? Sunday school, same thing. Cell groups, same thing. Attending worship, same thing. Right? And we'll unpack more of that next week. How does that apply? How does the secret to contentment apply when it comes to abundance? We'll unpack more of that next week. For today, let me close by saying this. The secret to living a life of biblical contentment is knowing that we have access to the power of God through our dynamo, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead gave his life as a ransom for many, so that those who believe in him may have access to the power of God by faith, and therefore be able to rejoice, knowing that our faithful Father will always provide for all their needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue this topic next week. I hope you can tune back in. I hope to see you online again next week. Amen. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and
Just